Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, on little surprises, my dad would occasionally bring home sweets after work and always on his own birthday. He bought my mum a Fry's chocolate cream every time. Happy memories, says Mairead. And in the late 50s, early 60s, my dad, John Fooey, went to Fermoy on Saturday evening, late opening, to collect fresh meats from the butcher and other messages. His frequent surprise was a record. Brought back a record, that's nice, that's caramel. And driving around Boston listening to RT Radio 1, I can't resist replying to this. I was taken out for lunch last week by my daughter for my birthday. We had a lovely lunch and I thanked her, hugged her, said goodbye. I was sitting in my car for a few minutes doing an email when my daughter Donna knocked on the car window and handed me a pound of Irish sausages from the Irish butcher in Boston and a crunchy. Just a little surprise for you, Dad, she said. She made me feel so special. It's the little things in life. That sounds like an ad, doesn't it? You can see it now, dramatised. That's from Frank Gillespie. And Aoife's been on. Do you know the differences between weasels and stoats? Well, weasels are weaselly recognised and stoats are stoatly different. That's from Aoife. Sorry. Which brings us nicely on to Aidan Green. We spoke to Aidan in 2023 when he was about to take to the stage in Vicar Street as Ireland's foremost and only stammering comedian. Next on Aidan's agenda is to star in his own short film or movie as an actor with a stammer, portraying a character with a stammer. Good afternoon, Aidan Green. Now, remind people about you. So you've had a stammer for a long time.
Yeah, I've stammered since I was 4 years old. And, you know, it was grand for a while. And then when I hit puberty, it became dramatically more severe. And then it wasn't as much fun. And then eventually I became a stand-up comedian.
No, that's the abridged version.
That is a very abridged version.
Because there was a career choice in the middle there, which was forced upon you, you thought, because of your stammer.
Yeah, I mean, I'd always wanted to be an actor when I was a child because I was intensely, I was in love with myself as a child. I thought it was the greatest thing in the world. And then when I hit 13, my stammer changed and I could barely speak at all. And I decided I would become a software engineer because that was a job where I wouldn't have to talk. And just a shout out to all the stammers there. As a software engineer, you have to talk a lot.
Oh, dear.
Oh, God.
So it was the wrong choice in the end.
No, I mean, it's a decent job, but it's not much crack either, so.
Yeah. We have a Leaving Cert student in our house, and I was thinking, you know, there's orals coming up in the not-too-distant future. What's doing an oral exam like for somebody with a stammer?
It's weirder for the person who's doing the
examining,
because, you know, back when I was in school, which wasn't that long ago, there was no such thing as a special needs assessment, and I wasn't treated any differently because I had a stammer for better and worse. But nobody had warned the examiner that I had a stammer before I went in, and so I started off, I thought I was doing great. I was like, this is going real well. And she was so concerned that she stopped recording, which I'm pretty sure is illegal. But in her defense, I'm sure she thought even if he wanted to snitch, he probably couldn't, so she could get away with it. And she stopped recording and she asked me, was I okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm grand. How are you? And she's like, is there somebody I can go and get? And I'm like, I mean, unless there's a witch doctor up the hallway, I think we're stuck like this. And
this
Yeah. So it may have been I would say probably the longest Irish oral exam on record.
And you've tried everything.
Yeah. I mean, eventually, you know, I think a thing is a lot of people just will naturally grow out of their stammer. So they'll try something, and after 6 months, they probably won't stammer anymore and they'll think it's because of that thing they tried, but they just probably naturally grew out of their stammer. So I very much have the opinion of, the best treatment for stammering is just acceptance. You know, like as soon as I started to just accept I have a stammer, it just made everything easier because it's not stammering that's really the worst thing that can happen to me. It's either me avoiding stammering and saying something stupid or me avoiding situations because I'm scared of getting myself unbelievably anxious because I'm scared I'll start armor. Whereas if I just accepted it, I'm like, you know what? They can wait. I have to wait for their nonsense. So they can wait for mine.
And I would imagine getting stressed by the fear of stammering, it's that feeds into the stammer.
Oh, yeah. The more you think about if you're going to start armor on it, you're basically making yourself stammer on it. It's, you know, like it's kind of like a recursive loop, which is a software engineering term, really showing off that.
What does it mean?
It means it basically repeats in on it. Right. So, okay. You know, if you start armor on something, then the next time you go to say it, you'll be more concerned. You won't be able to say it, which will make it more likely you don't.
So a particular word could become a hurdle for you and you avoid it.
Yeah. Now, there's some words you can't avoid, like a proper noun. Your name, for example, is a big one. You know, like I, for a long time, I wanted it to be called anything other than Aidan. Unfortunately, that's what's on my birth cert, so I had to stick with it. But you know, there was...
Aidan was a tough one for you. But was it because of the letters involved, or was it because it was your name?
I think it was something I would have to say a lot, you know, and it does create a weird thing around your identity because you're ashamed to say your own name. So it almost makes you ashamed of saying who you are. And, you know, there would have been, I met a fellow with a stammer once who told me he was at some sort of a trial for the Kerry under 16 footballers. And before the trial, they made everyone go around the dressing room and say their name and where they're from. And he got himself so worked up, he said he went out and he just couldn't play because he was so exhausted from the anxiety of having to say his own name.
And that was one thing that you had in secondary school. You were good at sport.
Yes, which is, if anyone ever asks me any advice for a child with a stammer, be good at sport.
Yeah, well, you can't just be good at sport.
I mean, have a mother who played in multiple All-Ireland finals for Cavan and pass those genes on to you. Because I was good at sport and I had an older brother who was, you know, big, I did get mildly bullied for my stammer, but I know it could have been a lot worse.
So the last time you were in, as I mentioned, you were heading to Vicar Street, not literally, but it was in the weeks after it. And how did that go?
That was one of the best nights of my life. I mean, I planned a 25-minute long set. I got through maybe 12 because it was going so well. You know, just a real kind of a... That's the first place I ever saw stand-up comedy. So it was like a real kind of a full circle moment.
So that 12 minutes of laughter, is that what you're telling me?
No, that was like normally the jokes, which would take me 25 minutes to say. There was so much laughter, I only got to do 12 minutes of those jokes.
What I'm saying. Yeah, so it's 12 minutes of laughter.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't want to say that.
Yeah, but that's what I'd say. I did the maths. And it is, and we probably said this to you the last time, but having listened to you now again and hearing your story, the most unlikely career choice would be for a lot of people who are fearful of public speaking, and I am in awe of stand-up comedians, but to be doing that knowing that you have a stammer is, you know, we're not worthy stuff.
I mean, I would actively say it's easier to be a stammering stand-up comedian. I mean, I have to write half the amount of jokes. So to be honest with you, that's a real Cavan answer there. But, you know... Stand-up comedy, they're basically like a social contract of the audience is meant to sit and listen, which, you know, if you were to ask me if I'd rather stand up in front of 1,000 people and do stand-up or do my Irish oral again, I would pick standing up in front of 1,000 people.
I mean, do you find it easier to be a performer and on stage than have a one-to-one conversation?
Absolutely. Right. I would much rather be on stage in front of hundreds of people than have to go into a restaurant and ask for like a table.
How do you explain that?
I think there's like things which help make me stammer less, like if I'm projecting my voice or something. But it's the... I just understand stand-up, you know, like I've always been a performer, you know, up until I was 12 years old, I was the lead in every school play. And it's just, there's something I understand. There's a level of, you know, people are focused on you and people are giving you the benefit of the doubt. Whereas I feel in a one-on-one, you know, if somebody doesn't know you or, you know, like you don't have the authority being on stage, they're less likely to give you the time.
And I suppose, as you say, people know you, as in they know you have a stammer. So that's out there immediately, yes, you know, from the start, and you use it in your comedy.
Yes. I mean, I make a point of saying it right at the start, but also saying that I don't think it's a bad thing, yeah, and showing the audience, because I think that they need to know, I don't think that this is, you know, like a lot of people always say things like, oh, don't let your stammer define you. And I always find it funny because people only ever say, don't let it define you, if they think it's bad. And I don't think it's bad, so I think it can define me.
Okay, so if you're meeting somebody for the first time, what's your approach?
I will always say my name, and I take a small amount of joy in how uncomfortable it makes them.
So you don't say, I'm Aidan and I suffer with a stammer?
Show, not tell. No, yeah, I always, yes. So do I always, I mean, and I think, you know, the more I say my name, the easier it is. So I always just try and introduce myself with my name first, and then just show them I have a stammer. Because I think even in just brazenly stammering, it normalizes it more than me, you know, like almost, you know, like warning them.
Yes, yes. Now, growing up, the people you saw on television and in movies who had a stammer were certain types.
Yeah. It was never good.
No.
I mean, I never had any sort of a role model in terms of stammering. The only one I would say, only possible role model I had was perhaps maybe Scatman John, because all of his songs were about having a stammer. But, you know, I watch The Water Boy as a child and I'm like, oh, everyone who sees this thinks that people
that
stammer
Sandler?
Are stupid.
Yes, yeah, yeah,
you know, or even like the first Harry Potter film, you know, like Professor Quirrell fakes a stammer, so people will think he's stupid. And that's the kind of, that's all I ever saw. You know, and even, you know, I put on the Looney Tunes and Porky Pig would jump out and, you know, the entire joke that I was, he can't say the word, so he says a different one.
So no positive role models for you growing up in art and culture.
Exactly.
So you're making a short movie, which is called Stutterbug.
Yes.
And I saw a little clip, which is sort of a taster of it.
Yep.
So it's about what, a day in your life. It's autobiographical.
Yeah. I say it's about the person I would have become if I'd never accepted my stammer. So like, where would my life be? Uh-huh. So it's a man called Aidan who has a stammer who keeps trying to hide it. And the more he tries to hide it, the worse and worse situations he gets himself into until he inevitably hate crimes another person with a stammer. Which right. is the logical conclusion.
And you've written the script?
Yes.
And you've been writing scripts since you were 16?
I have.
Yeah. So this is a dream?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. This was always my long-term goal from when I was a child. So, you know, just to write and be in a film I've written.
So, and you have other people with stammers in the movie and working on
yes.
the movie.
Yes. So we got Scroobius Pip attached for the other stammering role in the film. And I'm sure a lot of people probably remember him as a rapper. But he's since been in the Acolyte on Disney. He's been in the House of the Dragon on HBO. He's a big stammering advocate. Right. So I got in contact with him through the British Stammering Association and he was just really excited to play a stammering character.
Right.
I mean, it will be the first ever film with two stammering actors. So completely unlike any other short film you've ever seen, because it'll be 3 hours long.
Well, you have the benefit of editing.
Yeah, true.
You have some insider knowledge on Colin Firth playing the stammering king. So in his script notes, what did it say?
Yeah, so in the script, only in his first line of dialogue did they actually write out any stammering. And after that, there was a parenthetical which I had, if he talks, assume he stammers.
Uh-huh.
Which, I mean, apparently saves you on page count.
Right.
So that's I used that for Scroobius Pip's character in my script, partly because the script had to be under 15 pages, but also because, you know, his character is meant to show somebody just earnestly accepting their stammer and stammering freely.
Yeah, and you can't be prescriptive. And then somebody wants to know what you thought of that movie. What did you think of the King's Speech?
I thought it was fine. I mean, I think it kind of promotes an overcoming narrative. And the problem with, you know, a lot of people said to me, oh, you know, he overcame his stammer.
Why can't you, sort of thing?
Yeah, but also it makes him the exception. And I think I've undercame my stammer. And things have turned out pretty well for me.
Stammering is the one disability that people still think it's okay to make fun of. The amount of adults and children bullied because of it is staggering, says Alan. And as a person who has a stammer, I admired this man. I've never accepted mine and it's held me back all my life. It's so hard, says Gary. Does Aidan stammer when he's singing?
I don't.
Do you sing?
Genuinely the worst singer you met. I was so bad at singing, I was kicked out of our primary school choir at six, right, and made to sit alone in a room while they practice every week. So my life isn't musical, and if it was, I'd be ruining it. So
okay. So you've a GoFundMe page, and you're trying to raise 20,000 to make the short movie, which will be one of a kind. Great to see you. We didn't get a chance to talk about Joe Biden.
No, but he's a person who says, do not let your stammer define you a lot. So I think my thing with Joe Biden was, if he accepted a little bit more, I think things would have been easier for him and us. But I have an article in the journal on that topic if anyone wants to read it.
Okay. Aidan Green, comedian, writer and actor. Thanks so much for coming in. Thank you, Aidan.
Cheers.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.